Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.
Okay, Boston, welcome. This is Mike Ball at Left Ahead and Marion, Massachusetts, and Harumph, and of course here at Lefty's on Blog Talk Radio. So I just felt like doing a little rant about Boston. I've been here for 36 years, the majority of my life. I lived the previous 10 in Manhattan, and the differences couldn't be starker. So I have never really gotten used to this, and I'm amused as we following the Boston Marathon bombing 3 years ago. It was their T-shirts and hats and the expression everywhere, Boston Strong. I think it ought to be Boston Timorous or Boston Timid. We did a lot of things we don't do here, and it goes back to colonial times, and I have been enjoying that, just looking at it. Back when Boston was originally settled, or the area that became Boston was originally settled, and then the Anglicans came in and the Puritans came in, and all the stuff, the social conservatism and all the things we weren't supposed to do around here were attributed to a religion, mostly the Puritan side of things. And originally the Catholics weren't allowed in the Boston area or in Massachusetts, the Massachusetts Bay Colony. And in fact, on paper at least, you could be put to death if you were a Catholic priest trying to proselytize in the great area. I don't think that was ever used, but it was on the books. So and years later, through today, in fact, the Bostonians and the people in eastern Massachusetts love to point to their strong plurality of Roman Catholics and say, yes, well, that's why we're conservative, because so many of them are Catholics. And those are just excuses. That's just not the way things work. We go back to the Blue Laws. That was before any of our times, and there were two places that started out on the Blue Laws, and that was Massachusetts and South Carolina. In fact, many places consider, historians consider Charleston, South Carolina, and Boston, Massachusetts, as like sister cities, or spinster cities, I should say. And they were, like the old joke goes, but they were afraid that somebody somewhere was going to have a good time, and that's just not allowable. So everything was forbidden that wasn't very specifically allowed. It was the Russian Soviet view of things. And so we see it going on and on and on. And now recently it's gotten worse than ever, I think. Boston has recently turned down, what would happen? It was like 20 years ago, Tom Menino was coming in as mayor. He's only been in a few years. And Bob Kraft, owner of the Patriots, wanted to build a stadium in town. Some unused piece of land in South Boston was a typical one. And there's another big piece down in Rosendale that might have gotten used. But Menino said, like hell, and stop that. And the city was behind him on that. We don't want a that, and now people have to go to hell and back, Foxborough. And that's, we don't want it. We don't want it in our backyard. We don't want it in our front yard. We don't want it in our side yard. And what has been turning down here? Summer Olympics. We were supposed to host the Summer Olympics, and the Olympics was interested in us, and it was quite plausible. But the locals and businesses, and they all got together. We don't want it. No, we don't want a Summer Olympics. So there's no Summer Olympics. And there was to be a Indy car race here, a Formula One style race. And that never happened. Some people are saying, well, there were simply too many regulations. But you'll find here in Boston that the business types and the self-interested types who really don't want to do anything interesting or expand anything, they always say, oh, if we only had less regulation, everything would just go along like swell, like hell swell. Let me tell you, that wasn't it at all. Yeah, there were a number of things that went over on the Indy race, but basically the city was not going to get behind it, and the residents weren't going to get behind it, and the businesses weren't. And so it was like, you know, it was a simple enough thing, and it would have been, you know, another message to the world, like, we're ready, we want to do real exciting things, but we didn't want to do exciting things with the Olympics, we didn't want to do exciting things with the Formula One cars. We didn't want an in-town casino, so they were going to get one adjacent to Boston now, but that's out of the mayor and the city council's control. But it was like, you know, we don't want a casino either. Now, you know, I'm anti gambling, so it's you know, I shouldn't go off about that. But it was amusing once the state passed the law saying that you could have three casinos in Massachusetts. I mean, Boston clearly is the logical choice for one of them, but they wouldn't do it, and the mayor wouldn't do it, and the residents wouldn't do it, and the businesses wouldn't do it, and so there's no casino, and we have no late night transit. Most real cities with subways and elaborate bus systems and commuter rails have 24-hour mass transit. It may not be as frequent as rush hour, but you can get where you want to go 24 hours a day. And that's true in Seattle and New York and Paris and London, or not in Boston. You shut down either at 12:30 or 1:28. You got to get beyond your last bus or subway, or you're just out of luck. You can walk great distances, or you can put up with a friend, because we don't do it. We go to sleep. In fact, I quote Adam Gaffin here, the head of the wonderful UniversalHub.com. Universal Hub, he says, Boston, the city that always sleeps, and ain't it so? So we don't have casinos, and we don't have anything exciting. We don't have it. We don't want it. We don't have it, and it's not going to. And liquor licenses. That at least we can point to the state. In the 1930s, the joke is, and maybe it isn't a joke, is that the state Pauls didn't trust the Irish politicians who'd taken over the Boston city government to hand out liquor licenses fairly, so they severely restricted it. And Boston is restricted to 675 liquor licenses. For a city this size, with the traffic flow and the tourist flow, it's absurdly low. It's about a third of what it should be, but it also means it's like makes the a full liquor license like a taxi medallion. It's worth like, you know, $400,000, $200,000 to $400,000 for these things, and then you can't even get them. They're just on back order, and it goes back to the stupid home rule. Home rule sounds good. It sounds like, oh, good. The cities get to make their own regulations, and they can raise their own monies and set their own laws, or the effective laws to for what they need to do. And in fact, it is the opposite of that. It is, you can't rule your home. And what it means when liquor licenses are raising money, or almost anything you want to do, the city council has to pass their ordinances and make a request, a beg. They really have to go hat in hand, as the wonderful word handicap means, hat in hand. And they go to the state house and say, oh, please, will you help us? Will you let us do this? Oh, please, Daddy, let us do this. Let us do this. And the state almost invariably says no. It means you have to rewrite your city charter, put in this new regulation, or for this new tax or law or whatever it is that you want to have done, and go beg the state house. And they don't want to do it. They don't do it. They don't give Boston squat. They do bleed Boston. They have tremendous amount of untaxed property on Boston that the Boston has to provide support services for, and they don't pay any taxes on. But they don't give Boston squat. And it's not going to happen. So the liquor license, at least you can point to the state somewhat. I think if they were to double the amount of liquor licenses, which the existing bar and restaurant owners would have screaming fits about, I'm sure, then there would be some other way they could figure out to make into a scam where people had to beg or get in line or bribe people or some other way. But nevertheless, if you are in Boston, there really aren't enough restaurants with even beer and wine licenses. There are 300 and change of those, and it's 675 or 645. Anyway, less than 700, fewer than 700 licenses. and there aren't enough. And many restaurants simply do not open. And if they do open, they don't stay in business. Because that's where the real profits are. It's not in the coffee, and it's not in the food. It's in selling booze. And it makes life much, much easier for restaurants, and it makes people much more inclined to open restaurants if they can get a license, either beer and wine or full license. So Boston really doesn't do that, and they don't change that. And we're hoping that the new mayor, Marty Walsh, is going to go get hard with the State House and maybe get a double or triple of the liquor licenses and open that up a bit. Because they now have a bizarre expansion where you are allowed to open up a certain number of limited liquor licenses in Main Street districts that don't have that aren't well served by them, but you can't sell those. They have to stay right there, and basically, when the restaurant dies, the license dies with it. So that's a kind of a stupid thing to do. But you got to ask yourself, what is it about Bostonians that they do this? They come in as NIMBYs, whether they're a business or the residents. Very recently in South Boston, there's supposed to be a Starbucks opening up. That's harmless enough, isn't it? Not in Boston. It was downtown, down in the prime bathhouse area, the L Street, and both the residents and the business people said, no, we don't want a Starbucks in here. And I don't know, that's like, you know, we don't want vanilla ice cream in our selection. It's like, it's harmless. But you can see the businesses says we don't want competition. And basically the residents said, we want things exactly as they have been. We don't want anything different. And that's what it's about. So we have a schizophrenic Boston here. It says we are the leader in innovation in every possible way, in technology, entertainment, the arts, whatever it is, we are the leader. And it basically isn't true. They are the leader in money market funds. Boston has never been the nation's financial capital. It has never been the nation's largest port. It has never been the nation's capital. Several cities have. But it doesn't do the big jumps. It doesn't want the big stuff. And the innovation tends to come across the river, across the Charles, from Cambridge, the MIT types and a little bit of Harvard types and a little bit of the Tufts types. And they come off and they start businesses and they tend to move out in the burbs, but it really isn't Boston. Boston keeps them on the other side of the river. And Boston really isn't that innovative. It isn't that innovative in theater. There are a few fascinating theater troupes, mostly in Central Square. In fact, the Central Square group, there are about four theater groups that work out of Central Square Theater. And there used to be one in Newton Repertory Theater. But it moved its act to Watertown, and now they do kind of boring repertory things, like the name says. And it's hard to find really good theater, even the student theater that tends to be stuff that you know. People come and they can probably recite the lines and sing the songs, and it's boring. So you don't get it. You don't get the innovation in the technology, and you don't get it in the art, and you don't get it in on the stage. So I think that they all stop talking. We're a world-class city. We do everything better, faster, better than anybody else. They don't. They simply don't. If you spend any time in Manhattan or Los Angeles, San Francisco, you say, this is what Boston should be doing, and they don't do it. Plus, they have mass transit that operates all night. So you got to wonder. I've been to a number of council meetings here, city council, and a number of hearings in neighborhoods where people want to expand something or bring in a new business or otherwise try something exciting. And the answer is almost always no. We don't want to do it. We don't want anything different. We're happy the way they are. So I think Boston probably should simply be like the old people here and embrace their social conservatism. It is in the nature, even the young people. The Bostonians live vicariously through their students. We have a huge number of colleges. You count the entire area around here, it's like 110 colleges, something, and like 64 closer in. Tremendous amount of college-age students here. But it's vicarious for the rest of us. We look at it and think, oh, we are wild and crazy guys. But no, a small number of college students are. So they're doing that. And we have our innovation from MIT people, and not from Boston. For whatever it is, we don't want to do it, and we're not going to do it. And it's been that way since colonial times, and it's not likely to change. Boston does not want to lead. It simply says what we do is better than what you do without any logic behind it. So there you have it. So I like Boston. It's probably hard to tell from, I have chosen to stay here for 35 and a half years. So it was my option here to raise kids here, and have done that. But I got to say, I do see the limits, and I see the limits in the attitudes. And when I go to these meetings, I mean, the people don't want the night owl buses, and they don't want to try this, they don't want to try that, they don't want whatever it is, they don't want their IndyCar races, they don't want the Olympics, and they're not going to have it, they're not going to want it, and that's the way it goes. And it's not likely to change, so, you know, it's possible. It is possible there might be a confluence of an innovative, gutsy mayor. We don't have one now. And an innovative, gutsy governor. We sure as hell don't have one now. The governor is a insurance exec, a numbers guy, so he really doesn't do vision stuff. And Marty Walsh, I can't tell. Surprisingly, he's strong on expanding liquor licenses, and he is a recovering alcoholic, so he doesn't drink, but he knows it's business, and he knows it's a good thing, so he's going for that. I don't know that he's going to be a knight carrying his barrel of whiskey with him and urging great expansion of liquor, but he's not going to fight it. So I don't see a short-term confluence of mayor and governor making these things happen. It would take that to drive the populace, because we are Boston timid, and we don't want things different. We like to pretend that what we have is the best, the most innovative, whatever superlative you want to add, regardless of what the logic is and regardless of what the history is and regardless of what all these other cities are doing. We still continue to fall short on transit and innovation and expansion and socialization and arts. So I'll push for what I want, and I'll ask, and I'll from time to time testify at city council, and I'll write about it and blog about it and podcast about it. But I got to say, Boston is a timid place. And they're not going to change today or tomorrow. Maybe in 4 years. Let's keep our eyes out on it. Thank you for listening. I'm through ranting for today. Goodbye.
Well, here's another nice mess you've gotten me into.